T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
If you truly believe the conditions have changed, and I truly believe the conditions are the same, then we need somebody, not you and not me, to iron this out for us. Kind of like when you decide that I'm only going to make $2 million, and I say, F you, I want $4 million. What do? We don't play rock, paper, scissors until one of us quits. We go to an independent arbiter, and they settle that, effectively removing you and me from the equation so that we can keep this ball rolling. That never happened, though. I guess I'm not really following where the players instill a lack of trust in the ownership.
Well, that was Dallas Braden, Barstool Sports, with us yesterday. Obviously, a counter offer from the MLBPA to the owners here. We got word of that last night. No Glenn Ordway here, OMF. It's just Maloney and Fourier. So with that, we bring in John Heyman, our Harbor One Hotline, MLB Network. And John, this thing to me, I felt like it was a little bit of unrealistic. The union was never agree what the owners sent them. And now I feel like they've kind of come back with a similar offer where the owners are going to sit there and say, no shot at this either. Where do you stand with this whole thing right now?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the offer, that's basically saying, no thanks, we don't like your proposal, but let's play more games,
yeah,
which I'm not sure that benefits the owners either. So the counter, if you want to call it that, is not progress. I'll say that. I don't think they've moved the ball forward. Now, I will say that owner's sliding scale proposal was pretty tough. It was pretty steep cuts, and yeah, they're going to have to move off of that. But that said, the players obviously don't feel like they need to, at this moment anyway, really negotiate off that at all. And that's a shame, because we really need to have baseball. They can't let this blow up over economics. That would be a disaster for everybody included, myself. I'm including myself in that.
Yeah.
They got to get down and get this done, and they really only have 2 weeks to do it.
So, John, real quick, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the owner's claim that they'll lose more money with every single game? So why add more games if that's their claim?
Yeah, I've heard that claim. That doesn't really ring true to me completely. Right. I don't think that adding games is really going to cost them, but I'm not sure how much it helps them either. It helps the players if they're sticking with the prorated to add the games. It helps them financially anyway.
Yeah.
But I it doesn't seem to me that the players' counterproposal is moving the ball forward. So neither side has really moved the ball tremendously forward at this point, and that's unfortunate.
And, John, so I get it. Each side had these, which seems like, for me, two radical proposals. You know, they have a crazy one. The players come back with an even, you know, nuttier one that isn't really, you know, doable. Where do you think the middle ground is? Where do you think the two sides meet in the middle? What do you think that needs to look like?
Right, that's exactly what they need to do. Both sides need to compromise off of that. I don't think the sliding scale was a bad concept. I get it. You're really cutting the guys who are making the minimum isn't going to get you back any of the money you're going to lose. And I do believe the owners will lose money no matter what happens here. Obviously, the players are losing salary as well. You know, even if they're looks like they're going to try for 100 games or 120 games, but let's say they just get the original 82 games at prorate. They're losing half their salary. So everybody's going to end up losing in this, but both sides need to compromise.
I know, but where is that? Where is that? I'm trying to figure out, because if yeah, each side is going to get screwed, well, each side is going to have some pain.
Yeah.
The compromise needs to be what? It's almost like neither side wants to – admit that they're in a worse case scenario than the other. It's like they're both taking on damage.
There's no trust.
Yeah,
but where's really the where is it?
That I get, but you know, I don't think the sliding scale was a bad concept. If they change the numbers, maybe it'll work to have Gerrit Cole making 22 or 25% of his normal salary, or Mike Trout, same thing. That's a bit harsh. If they move it a little bit, maybe that could work. But I don't think that's a bad concept, because they didn't really lower the salaries very much of the minimum guys. They had to do the higher paid guys. I know the union looks at it as like they're trying to divide and conquer. They want to get the younger players on their side. But if that's the MO, I don't see it. I think maybe it could be a happy byproduct if they divide and conquer that way, but that's not happening. The younger guys, the lower paid guys, they don't really have a big voice in the room. I mean, the call was last night. I was getting texts. I got a text from one player. I got to tell you, and I think they're going to get a deal. I think they're going to work it out. I just can't believe they're going to blow it up over economics. But from a very smart player, he sent me a text. I had sent him a text. I didn't realize the call was going on. He said, on call now. I think there's pretty. I think the chances for a season are pretty close to zero. That was the entire text.
See,
so it wasn't going. It's not going well. I'll say that. But I'm taking a step back. He's in the middle of it. Taking a step back. I believe both sides understand they need to play the games if they can, in terms of the health. They cannot blow it up over money. They just can't do it.
Talking to John Heyman here, MLB Network. And, John, I think everybody agrees playing this thing out publicly is just going to hurt the game. Even eventually when they do come to an agreement, which, you know, maybe they can financially, maybe they will, but there's so much damage, to me, being done. I mean, these other sports don't have contracts to deal with. Major League Baseball does. I don't think you should lump all these other sports into what baseball's dealing with right now. But PR-wise, they are getting smoked. Smoked.
Well, yeah, baseball was in a little tougher spot because their season hadn't started. Their players hadn't gotten paid yet. The NBA and NHL, just by when the virus struck, their players had been paid most of their salaries. So the issue isn't there. I understand what you're saying about the bad PR as we go back and forth with this. If they play baseball, all that will be forgotten. We've had these CBA talks for years, and I've covered it for three decades at this point. And there's always a bad back and forth. Yeah. Once they start playing baseball, except for 94, when they canceled the season, then there was very bad PR. But the other times, and I've been through many of them, and even stoppages, although we haven't had one in 25 years, it's all forgotten. So, and as a writer and a reporter, I'm not going to argue against back and forth because I'm living off of that right now. Yeah. I need the back and forth. So, you know, that's my job.
So, John, you know, I saw Max Scherzer's comments, and it was interesting. There's a couple things in there that almost seem like the union kind of has maybe information that maybe the owners aren't going to lose as much if there is the postseason. But, you know, this really comes down to trust. The revenues have gone up. The salaries have pretty much stayed the same over the last 4 or 5 years. The owners have already agreed to defer a lot of money from the draft. Why not defer the money they're taking right now and pay that out over the next couple of years? Is that something the owners would not go for? Defer payments?
The deferred payments, I don't think the deferred payments really help the owners enough. I know that's what the union is thinking about. I've heard that from a lot of player side type people, that they would defer some money or something along those lines. They're going for a lot of money here to get back. I mean, if you're cutting Gerrit Cole down, now he's already was cut from $36 million to about $19 million. Now you're going to cut him down to about $8 million. That's one player. So you're going for a lot of money. The deferred money is really not going to make a big dent in it. So I don't think that is a solution. I do see some other possibilities. You know, I think the root of the problem is that there wasn't really a clear understanding of the original agreement of March 26th. The players thought at that point that they were going to be paid prorated once they started playing, no matter what. Whereas the owners believed that it was predicated on fans being able to attend.
How can you leave those negotiations without clearing that up back in March?
Well, you know, I've read the agreement, and you know, I think at this moment, as I read the agreement, the players have it does say prorated in one spot, but if you read the agreement at the beginning, it talks about it needs this is we're talking about with fans at the ballpark. So if you tie it all together, maybe it needs to be repeated in the section about the salary. I don't know. But to me, if you read the whole agreement, the beginning of the agreement kind of suggests we need this is if there is a list of things that need to happen, including the health considerations have to be okay, the authorities have to be okay, and the fans have to be there. So tying the whole thing in, I think the players believed and honestly believed that they were getting prorated no matter what. But I'm not sure they all read the agreement. If you read the agreement, now I'm not a lawyer, so you know a lawyer may have a different case or a different thought about it. But I think it leaves it open for the owners to renegotiate. So if I'm the players, I start negotiating and working off of that and trying to get a deal. I don't accept the stark sliding scale that they gave, but I after reading that, I would not hold to it and say that we have to get prorated per game, because that's not the way I read it. I'm just telling you, I do work at MLB Network. I've been going back and forth with this, but I reread it, and that's the way I read it. If you read it and tell me something different, I'm open to going back to the other side, but that's not the way I read it. I think the players and the owners need to get together. They need to make a compromise. Neither side has made much progress on it at this point, but they have to figure it out and get it done. But I don't read it as they definitely get prorated.
Okay, so we're talking to John Heyman, who I like to call John Hyman. personal mistake I made for you, John. It's just completely butchered it, but I was preoccupied with something else.
In fact, the family was Hyman probably 50 years ago.
See, there you go, right? So I actually technically got it right. So one of my questions is, I feel like there's a lot of animosity with current players with the aspect it publicly they're getting blamed for this. Publicly, they're bitching and complaining about money when, you know, one in every four Americans are without a job. Like over 40 million people are unemployed. Do you sense that when you talk to those guys? Do they kind of, you know, feeling like they're getting, the blame is being placed on the wrong side?
And naturally, it just seems to be, and I don't know, maybe the owners have better PR. They certainly have more PR people, and they certainly know what they're doing. But it does seem to me that your average fan does tend to side with the owner of the team, the entrepreneur who's taking the risk with the franchise, more than the star athlete who's going out there and doing the entertaining. I don't know why that is, but that does seem to be the case, generally. I think the players, even with the PR situation as it is, they seem pretty galvanized about this and not moving on the deal and not really responding. I mean, if that's the response, I think that's a non-response. The players that I talked to yesterday suggested it's not even worth responding to. And that in this, if they're just adding games, that coincides with what I was told. They're not really responding. I think their best argument is that they're the ones going out and taking the risk. It may be mitigated by the fact that they're getting more tests and being looked over and all that, but they're the ones maybe not taking the financial risk, but they're taking the health risk, and that's a big consideration. I think that's a better argument than we already negotiated this March 26th, because as I said, I read the agreement, and it does not, to me, say they have to get paid prorated. I do sympathize with the players, though. They're out there taking the risk. They're already taking a hit. It's been a rough year for them. So I understand where they're coming from and taking a hard line, even if a lot of the fans do not. You got to fight for what you can, and I don't blame them. They did have a couple players come out early and not really speak well to the situation. Yes. I think that was just a case of inartfully speaking about the situation, but I think their heart was in the right place.
All right, talking to John Heyman. John, I don't know if you talked to players or coaches who maybe have some apprehension of coming back, you know, star players, even if they do come to an agreement, or guys with pre-existing conditions. We know there's some players, there's some older coaches. Have you heard about any of that situation talked about?
Yeah. I have. I talked to a coach who's about 60 years old, about my age, and he has diabetes, and he does have concerns about coming back. I mean, I don't know whether he's expressed his concerns to the team or how this will affect his coming back or not coming back. I've seen other guys quoted who've had some pre-existing conditions or some ailments, and the players generally have said, whether it be players like John Lester or Anthony Rizzo, who beat cancer, you know, they said they're going to come back and play if they're given the go-ahead, just like everybody else. And there are a few other players, there's a couple players who have diabetes, and they've said they're going to play. But I can tell you, to a coach who's talked to me, knowing that he wasn't talking for quote, he's concerned. You know, there is a risk out there. And to me, that's the player's best argument, beyond the fact they're already cut by half, based on even their first agreement that they agreed to. But like I said, I do think that they need to make a deal. I think there's a deal to be made, even if it's to take or come close to taking what the owners have suggested, but then get something later on, get something to offset that in the trade-off. Maybe it's to move the arbitration year up from year three to year two, or the free agency become a free agent after 5 years instead of six, or to maybe have a floor for the player, yeah, for the teams to spend, you know, because, you know, obviously some teams don't spend as much as they could, you right. know, they're not acting like they can win. So get a trade-off and get something else. But I do think that players do need to negotiate. I understand they've been told that it's prorated, and I just say that everybody needs to agree the agreement and get back to me on that if they really think that's the case.
All right, John.
That's the way I read it.
John Heyman, MLB Network. John, listen, appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, great talking to you guys.
All right, John. Hopefully we got some baseball soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.